To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And in his name, dear Christian friends, at St. Michael's Church in Coventry, England, these words are etched on the floor so that every parishioner who comes into church and sits at their pew has to cross over them. It says, "To the glory of God, this church burnt November 14th, 1941. A new cathedral stands over the ruins of the building that had stood for centuries, constructed by artisans and craftsmen and architects, whose devotion turned it into one of the great works of art in England. But the bombs of Hitler's Luftwaffe made waste the moments what had taken centuries to build. To the glory of God was probably not the first words that raced through the minds of those who saw their beloved church leveled. I would bet there were a lot more, "Why, Lord?" being asked. That's our first response when bad things happen, isn't it? When our health doesn't seem to improve, when our job is considered non-essential, our relationships at home are faltering or failing. Why? Someone once said that the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that when both are driven to the point of despair, one can only see the darkness while the other sees a ray of hope. And that's why blue is the color of Advent. It is the color of hope and expectation. Our God is not a million miles away. He came through the womb of a peasant girl, and he will come again in power and glory. And so Advent begins our new church year in the family of God, and we begin our new year to the glory of God. And we do so on the basis of the words of our text from Isaiah tonight. You, O God, our Father, oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. Have you ever woken up at a start in the early morning hours and couldn't get back to sleep because your mind is just full of thoughts and worries and concerns? If you have, then you can maybe understand a little bit better Isaiah in our text today. The enemies of God were knocking on Israel's door, and in prophetic vision, he saw something far worse about to happen to his people. The ruthless Babylonians would soon take God's people away from the promised land, the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But to make things worse, the Lord God told his prophet earlier in his book, "I have raised children, but they have rebelled against me." Not only had the people of God hardened their hearts to the grace of God, but God in turn had hardened their hearts against him. And all they could think and all they could do was evil. When Isaiah was anointed by the Lord as his prophet, the Almighty God told him, "Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears deaf and blind their eyes so that they do not see with their eyes or hear with their ears or understand with their hearts and turn again and be healed." Those are scary words. But yet they were very fitting to a people who had turned away from the God who had displayed his splendors among them. And only a remnant, including Isaiah, remained a remnant of faithful people. Isaiah's anxious thoughts for his people at this time turned to an intense and humble prayer. one that serves us well as we begin our new year. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. Come down, dear Lord. Because that's the only thing that's going to make any sense. Come down like you did in the past for your people. Come down like you did against the enemies of Pharaoh and destroyed the world's greatest empire in the depths of the Red Sea. Come down, Lord, like you did when you felled the walls of Jericho, not with weapons of war, but with the shouts of your faithful people. Come down, O Lord, like you did when the king of Assyria mocked you and threatened your people, and you sent your angel to kill his massive army of 185,000 people. Show your enemies of today things that we don't expect. Let them see that you are a God who goes into action for the one who waits for him. We know how exactly Isaiah felt. We watch as the wicked and godless wield more power, especially here in our land of freedom. The right to worship is currently diminished in the minds of many, and in some states it is considered non-essential to worship your God. What God's word describes as sin is in our nation today tolerated, defended, celebrated, and even promoted. Just like Paul talks about the downward spiral of sins in Romans chapter 1. What is just as distressing for us as God's remnant, as God's faithful people, is that we see the warnings about the last day taking place even inside the visible church on earth. It's distressing when we see those who slowly harden their hearts to the word of God and to his will. And in some cases, we may even have to see that in our own families or among our own friends. They justify their sinful ways, and in doing so, lie to themselves and to God and to their fellow Christians. And Jesus sends the Holy Spirit through his word to convict them and to call them to repentance, but they love the world more than they love their God. And it's distressing to see when the church lives and acts like the wicked world around us. And we see the Lord hardening their hearts. And we can only pray, come down and protect us, dear Lord. Deliver us from such hardening of our own hearts. May we not come to the point where our hardness of heart leads you to say, if you want to sin, I'm not going to stop you. Lord, come down. That's our first Advent prayer. Defeat every evil purpose of the devil and his allies. And for the sake of the gospel and your faithful people, frustrate the plans of the wicked. Will the Lord hear such a prayer? Well, how often in the past hasn't he heard yours? How often hasn't he already come down to help you? Will he not do the same in the days to come? So we need him to come down to answer our prayers and answer especially the second prayer of our Advent prayer. Oh Lord, save us. Isaiah asks, can we still be saved? All of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one ever calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. You notice how Isaiah suddenly includes himself in that prayer. The problem isn't simply out there in the godless world or in the godless church. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. We might say we fall short of God's approval, that approval where he can say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We all have become unclean. Well, the Old Testament people, they really understood that. Because in the laws that God gave them to govern them as a people, there were all sorts of rules and regulations, all sorts of laws that told them when they were clean and when they were unclean. And they found themselves so often unclean. Even acne made you unclean in the presence of God. You couldn't stand before God. That word unclean means polluted or corrupt. You or anything unclean was not touchable, was not to enter the presence of God. In fact, if something polluted needed to be picked up, you didn't pick it up by your hand, you picked it up by a stick, and you threw it into a fire. Much like we'd burn our clothes if they got sprayed like a skunk. Sin makes us nothing more than the dried up leaves that blow around in our yard at this time of year. It is so deep a corruption that it affects everything, even the very wellspring of our thoughts and desires. All our righteous acts, he said, are like filthy rags. And when he says that, he means even our prayers and our worship is corrupted by sin. Even our repentance. Not the labor of my hands, the hymn writer says, could fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Lord, save us, because only you can save us. Because even our very best efforts are unclean, and they make us unclean in the eyes of our Almighty God, who demands nothing less than perfection from us. And it's for that reason that Isaiah's prayer concludes with words of hope. But now, Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry without limit. Do not remember our guilt forever. Please look closely. All of us are your people. So along with our prayer, Lord, come down and Lord, save us, we add, Lord, may your mercy rest on us. Because our Lord's mercy is always that ray of hope and that source of confidence. You are our Father. He says this at the beginning and at the end of our lesson tonight. And it's not simply true because he created us, but Isaiah was thinking about more. He was thinking how our God has redeemed us and recreated us. He did one of those things that we did not expect. God's Savior, God's Son, our Savior, assumed our human flesh and blood. And Isaiah thought of the promise that he spoke earlier, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. An amazing thing we could never expect. Yet God came down for us in this way. And Isaiah also reminds us that the God of creation was willing to take up our weaknesses and he was carrying our sufferings. It was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus came down to be our sin. Jesus came down to give us his righteousness, his perfection, so that we could receive the approval of our God. Simply amazing. And then Isaiah goes on and reflects a little deeper. We are the clay, you are the potter. And he said in our text, you meet anyone who joyfully practices righteousness, that is, those who walk in faith in the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, who are we that the God of the universe, the God of this devastating power that he could show, should treat us as his work of art? Every day, every hour, every moment of our lives, he sculpts us with his powerful tools, the word and the sacraments. And like a potter, he smooths out those rough edges of our sinful pride and recreates in us a heart of patience and forgiveness. And he reshapes us so that in our own vocation as a parent or a child or a teacher or an employee or an employer, a friend or a family member, we are sculpted and cast into the image of our Savior. And then he takes us and he puts us on display for the world to see, to reflect the glory of our Lord in our homes and in our offices. And like that beautiful piece of pottery, he gives us purpose and makes us useful, that we declare the praises of him who calls us out of darkness into his wonderful light, and to do it to the people in our own little circle and to those that we serve with our prayers and with our offerings. He makes us useful and with a purpose. Do you see why Isaiah turns his thoughts and concerns into prayers? May we always do the same, because his mercy rests on us. He is attentive to the prayers of his people, the Bible says, and knows how to answer us in the best way according to our needs and the needs of his holy church. And that's why we reflect on Isaiah's words and make them our prayer this Advent. Come down, O Lord. The signs of the end that Jesus gave us are coming true. The world grows more wicked. Life, especially in this past year, has been full of unexpected twists and turns. But you are our God. Rule with perfect judgment and mercy. Lord, save us from evil, especially the evil that lives inside of us. Don't treat us as our sins deserve. And finally, Lord, may your mercy rest on us. Father, as you have made us your children, keep us by your mighty power in your family, so that our lives may be a thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. Advent isn't about simply what is in the past, but what is in the future. One day the heavens will rip open, and he will come down as our glorious King, and every eye will see him, and every knee will bow down before him. And on that day we will be with the Lord forever. And maybe that will be the amazing thing that will come to us this new church year. But even if that is not the case, We have his promises. We have the healing rays that give hope and confidence as we enter our new year. All to the glory of God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.